It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to a brand new week of Fresh Oil. I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. You know, I was in the mall the other day and a guy had a t-shirt on and it said, "I have an attitude." Have you ever met somebody that really displayed an attitude? I think all of us at some time or another, we go through times where we let our attitudes show through. In Psalm 118, verse 24, the psalmist said this. He said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." See, I believe happiness is a choice. And instead of letting the attitudes and actions of others program my day, I can actually make a choice to accept God's plan for my life, God's plan for this very day, and I can make a decision to rejoice and be glad in it. While we can't choose our circumstances, the one thing we can choose is our response to those circumstances. I sometimes wish our life was like my automobile, where it had warning lights that came on to let us know we have a bad attitude. Sometimes there's things that give us indications, like when we have a short fuse, when we have these little outbursts of temper, when we're interrupted, that produces an irritation. Sometimes when we become overly sensitive and people say just little things that can really set us off. And then sometimes it's when we begin to think of others a little lower than we normally would. See, the Bible teaches us that we should love our neighbor as ourself. And when we begin to say, you know, everyone is unreliable, you can't trust anybody, that person's a pain, they're all a bunch of losers. Those are attitudes we get in our life that God wants to change. God wants to change us. Now, what can we do to build and maintain a good attitude in our life? I believe there are some principles that help in this area. The first thing is we need to understand that what is in me determines what comes out of me. The Bible tells us from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you get up in the morning and you go to the refrigerator, you grab an orange, you cut it open, you squeeze it into a glass, what do you expect to find in the glass? Orange juice. Because the orange is full of juice. Isn't it the same thing in our life? When we are squeezed, what's in us is going to determine what comes out of us. Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. He said, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Wow, what a list Jesus gave us. And he's like, all that stuff, which we think of as bad and we don't want in our lives, it all comes from within us, within our heart. See, the outward attitude is only a reflection of what's already inside. That's principle number one. What is in me determines what comes out of me. Now, principle number two is this. For the most part, I choose what goes in me. We make a decision by what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're hearing. That's what's going to go in us. Have you heard about the two guys who sat down to eat lunch, and the first guy opened his lunchbox, he took out a sandwich, and he said, "I can't believe it, bologna again. I hate bologna sandwiches." This is the fourth time this week I've had bologna, and I can't stand bologna. The second guy says, "Well, why don't you say something to your wife?" The first man said, "What good will it do? I make my own lunch." See, friend, we make our own lunch when it comes to our attitudes. It's what we're putting inside of us that's going to determine what comes out of us, and we determine what we're putting inside of us by what we're taking in with our senses, what we're hearing, what we're seeing. All these things are determining what's inside of us. Input determines the output. Now, some of the people you work with or live with might have so much junk inside of them that it eventually spews over onto everybody around them, and it takes a lot of work to keep it from dragging you down. But listen, we must make a conscious decision each and every day to determine what we invite into our minds. I've never seen anyone holding a gun to anyone's head saying, you have to watch that movie, or you have to read that book, or you have to hang around with those people that really will rob you of your free time. We choose those inputs. And according to Jesus, they affect our entire life, including our attitude. See, one time Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. See, in other words, whatever you focus on and whatever you allow in will eventually fill you up. Let in the good stuff and reject the bad stuff. You know, I've often said you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop him from making a nest in your hair. The choice is up to you and me. Now watch this. If I choose what goes in me, and what's in me eventually comes out of me, there's only one logical conclusion, and that's the third principle. I choose my attitude, and I'm solely responsible for it. If my attitude is good, it's a direct reflection of the good stuff in me that I chose to put in there. I can't overemphasize to you the importance of having a quiet time each and every day, having time where you pray and time where you read God's Word, because that is literally programming your attitude. That is programming your mind with the good things God wants to be in there. If my attitude is good, it's a direct reflection of the good stuff that I choose to put in there. If it's bad, it's a direct reflection of the bad stuff in me that I allowed to be put there. See, friend, if you choose to listen to gossip and garbage, don't be surprised if you feel like junk because you've been literally eating mental junk food. That's why none of us can make excuses for our attitudes. We choose it. I choose mine, you choose yours. No one else is responsible for the attitudes that we have except us. You know this? Your attitude is what you have chosen. Maybe by default, maybe by neglect, but you chose it. And if it needs to be fixed, God can help you fix it. He can do something to help you have a good attitude. Developing a good attitude. How do you transform a bad attitude into a good attitude? And I believe most of us can say without a doubt, we know when we have a bad attitude. Just like the guy walking in the mall with the shirt that said, I have an attitude. See, first of all, since attitude reflects what's already in you, you've got to clean up the garbage that fills your heart and mind. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. See, some of us just need to embrace God's holiness. All of us need to embrace God's holiness. It's impossible to develop a good attitude as long as these conditions exist where we're meditating or looking at or thinking or hearing bad things. It corrupts. It corrupts our mind. As a matter of fact, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. So some of us today, we just need to stop and say, God, what is going on in my life that's producing this bad attitude? And then we take the first step with Jesus. We come to him and we say, I'm a sinner, God. You are the Savior. I repent of my sins. I don't want to live this way anymore. And I accept what you did at the cross as payment for my sin. Please forgive me, clean me, and help me to walk and follow you. Now, if you've already taken that step, what do we need to do? We need to mentally go back in time and identify some things in our life and what has caused these bad things to develop a bad attitude in our life. And we need to ask God's strength to help us begin to overcome. The second thing about having a good attitude is you don't just try to have a good attitude, you train for it. Michael Jordan once said, "You can't turn it on and off like a faucet." I couldn't dog it during practice, and then when I needed that extra push late in the game, expect it to be there. But that's how a lot of people approach things. That's why a lot of people fail. They sound like they've committed to be the very best they can be, and they say all the right things, make all the proper appearances, but when it comes right down to it, they're looking for excuses instead of answers. Friend, in sports and in attitude, the answer is not trying hard. The answer is training. And one way we train for a good attitude, and this may sound a little goofy to you, it's just like trying to get enough sleep. When I don't get enough sleep, man, I get cranky. Sleep was part of the solution when the prophet Elijah's attitude went in the tank. God sent him an angel. And the first thing the angel had him do was what? He had to take not one, but two long naps. It's tough to have a good attitude without getting enough sleep. In fact, an article in Time magazine suggests that the sleep deficit in America is worse than the budget deficit, and it results in everything from increased irritability to fatal car accidents. For some of you today, the single best thing you could do for your attitude is to discipline yourself to turn off the TV, go to bed at a decent hour, and just start catching up on your sleep, and that will make a difference in your attitude. But as important as sleep is, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he prescribed two key attitude training disciplines that are even more critical. He said this in Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." See, put every thought that comes in your mind through the Philippians 4:8 test. Is it true? Well, if it's true, is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it excellent or praiseworthy? And if it's not, reject those things from your mind. See, I'm not going to think about that. So the first thing we have to do is fill our mind with right thoughts. That's discipline number one. Sit down and add it up sometimes. How much time do you spend filling your mind with things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? How much time do we spend reading God's Word and letting God speak to us? I believe it's very important, friend. Do you sing? Do you take time just to worship Him? Compare the amount of time that you spend ingesting the garbage from our media today compared to how much time we spend injecting God's Word and prayer into our minds. One more piece of advice from Paul. He said in verse 9, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice." See, we have to practice what we preach. It's not enough just to know all the answers and be able to quote and recite all the verses, but we have to put them into practice. And that's very important for training our attitude. Secondly, not only do we do that, but we also have to fill our life with the right people. Fill your mind with the right thoughts, and then fill your life with the right people. What are you learning from the people around you? Now, as I've said, some of the folks, you can't do anything about them. You know, your family's your family. But some of the people in your life, they're there because you invite them in. And you need to uninvite some people with a good attitude, of course. But there's just some people that are not good to be around. They will cause you to have a poor attitude. Attitude is a matter of training and not trying. Now, let me wind this up today. I want you to think about a challenging situation that you're facing right now in your life. What words come to mind that best describe your typical day-to-day response to that? How about a person that you're dealing with that you're saying, "Man, Keith, I have trouble dealing with this person." And then what you got to do is you got to say, "God, help me change my attitudes. Help me change my mind about this situation and give it over to you." And I believe God will change our attitudes. Have an attitude of gratitude. That makes a big difference. Walk in grace, friend. Great to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.